Today on Hardwired.
The Bible says that God was with him, which shows me that you can go through hell and back and God is still with you in the tough times. He's still favoring you. You may have all kinds of things going wrong, but the favor of God overshadows all of it because Potiphar noticed everything this guy touches succeeds.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so very much for joining us. Well, in our Bible Blockbuster series, we're dealing today with one of my favorite Old Testament stories. I never read this story from stem to stern without it bringing tears to my eyes, and I really mean that. And that's the story of Joseph and how much rejection and betrayal he experienced and went through, but somehow he came out on the other side. I've always been able to be strengthened by this story in the midst of my own experiences with rejection and betrayal, because very few of us are rejected to the level of Joseph. So let's go right to our second in our series, Bible Blockbusters, and let's look at Joseph, the ultimate survivor.
Now let me just talk to you about Joseph. Quick biographical sketch. Joseph was the son of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob the third of the patriarchs. Jacob had 12 sons. Now, six of them were by one of his wives, Leah. Four of them were by two handmaids. And two of them were by Rachel. So he had 12 sons in all. The Bible lets us know that not only did he show favoritism to his boys because he loved Joseph more than the rest, but he also showed favoritism to the wives. He had two wives. And I don't know why anybody would ever want to do that, because one is all you can handle, and the wives would say, one man's all I can handle. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. But he had two. Polygamy was allowed in those days. And he showed favoritism because it says that Leah bore him more children, but he loved Rachel. So you had, in this home, constant competition for attention, for affection from this man, Jacob. Now, he loved Joseph so much that he made him a coat of many colors, which was a sign of his favor towards Joseph. He favored him. So he wore this flashy coat around, many colors. None of the other boys had one, and it just sort of smacked of, yeah, this is my favorite boy, and Joseph was really the teacher's pet. Now, Joseph was a dreamer. God began to speak to him when he was a teenager, and he spoke to him through dreams. And in these dreams, he saw something. He saw himself in a very exalted position, and he saw his brothers bowing down to him and his parents. And he didn't have the wisdom not to go tell that. So he went up to his brothers, who already didn't like him at all. Said, guess what? I had a dream. It was from God. I saw your future and mine. Really? Well, what'd you see? You were bowing down to me, dude. Let me promise you, they went from dislike to hatred right there. He went to his daddy Jacob and said, I saw you bowing down to me. And Jacob said, what are you talking about? Don't quit talking that stuff. But Jacob had a dream. And the Bible lets us know it was a word from God. It was a word from God. Now, apparently also, being real close to Jacob and coddled by Jacob and sort of had an inside track to Jacob, the Bible tells us one day Joseph came in out of the field where all of his brothers had been and gave a bad report of his brothers to daddy. So he was a snitch. He's doing all kinds of things that are not gaining points with his brothers. Well, the Bible says that one day, Jacob said, go out in the field and check on your brothers. So he was kind of daddy's scout. So he sent him out. The brothers saw him coming and said, we'll see what happens to this dreamer. We'll see about this dreamer. And they found an empty well. Now this well was probably 10 to 15 feet deep or more because they dug deep for water. It was dry. They grabbed him. They tore the coat of daddy's favor off of him, which is when you are anointed of God, there are people that want to tear it off of you. When you have favor, there are people that'll be jealous of you. And they want to tear the favor away. So they attacked this signal, this sign of Jacob's love, and tore it off of him. And they threw him down into this well. Not a funny joke, guys. I think Joseph was going, this isn't funny. I know you're mad at me, but this isn't funny. Way down in there, in the dark, can't move, claustrophobic. He's in a well. You know how hard-hearted they were? It says they threw him down there, and then they sat down and ate lunch. That's hard-hearted. Sat down and ate lunch. Talked about the weather while their little brother is down there, tormented, confused, crying to get out. They said, we ought to kill him. Well, Reuben stepped in and said, no, don't kill the boy. We can figure something else out. And they saw some Ishmaelite slave traders coming down the road. Big caravan of slave traders. They said, we'll sell him. I want you to stop and think about this. So great was the hatred that they could eat with him in that pit. So great was the hatred they could even consider selling him. They pulled him out of the pit. And I think he probably said, man, that wasn't a funny joke. I'm going home. But he looked at their face and knew this is serious because they furrow-browed, angry face. They took him up to the slave traders and said, what do you give us for this young man? They paid for him. They shackled him according to the psalmist. They shackled him, chained him, and put him in this caravan and began to take him away. Now here's Joseph. You talk about confused. You talk about shattered. You talk about blown away. He's sitting here. He's chained up. These are people. He doesn't know their language. He doesn't know their culture. He doesn't know what's going on. He loves his daddy. He loves his home. He's a homeboy. He doesn't understand what's going on. He's attached to the promised land. That's all he's ever known. Now he's being taken away where he knows not, to a destiny he knows not. And as he's taken away, he's looking at the faces of his brothers. Mean, hard, uncaring, hateful. To them, that's it. He's gone. He's taken to Egypt. In Egypt, he's put on a slave block. And he is sold to the highest bidder. You got to be kidding me. How can this be happening? How could they have done this to me? Surely they're going to show up and say, hey, we weren't clear on what we were thinking. This was a big mistake. Come on, home. No. So a man named Potiphar said, I'll pay this much. And he outbid everybody else and he got Joseph and he took him to his house. And Joseph began to serve as a slave, as a servant, as an indentured servant. He began to serve as a slave. And the Bible says that God was with him, which shows me that you can go through hell and back and God is still with you in the tough times. He's still favoring you. You may have all kinds of things going wrong, but the favor of God overshadows all of it because Potiphar noticed everything this guy touches succeeds. So he connected the dots and said, I ought to make him over all of my house because he's a successful, organized man. And I like the blessing that he brings. And so he put him over all of his house. Well, Potiphar had a wife who was promiscuous. And the Bible says that Joseph was handsome. The Bible tells us that there were three men the Bible recognizes as being handsome. There was David, there was Joseph, and there was Absalom. Joseph was one of the three the Bible mentions as being very attractive physically. And this woman cast her eyes on him, and the Bible says she began to tempt him and try to seduce him and would say to him literally and brazenly, come and lie with me. Let's go to bed. Joseph resisted and Joseph resisted and Joseph resisted. And the Bible says day after day after day, she came at him. He resisted. Finally, she decided to make one final play for him. He came walking into the house and she said, come lie with me. And she grabbed his clothes and he fled and left his clothes in her hand. And And this infuriated the woman. He's a slave. He ought to do whatever I say. So she told a lie about him. And the Bible says she went to her husband and said, this Hebrew you brought into the house, he tried to rape me. He tried to assault me. And she made a false report about Joseph. And Potiphar immediately commanded he be thrown into the prison. Now, picture, he had these dreams. He sees himself promoted, exalted. He sees his family bowing down to him. He sees himself blessed with this incredible future. And now everything has gone backwards, seemingly. He's thrown down into a prison. And I guarantee you, it wasn't Tarrant County Jail. You didn't get three squares a day. This was an Egyptian dungeon. He's thrown into an Egyptian dungeon for something he did not do. How is God letting this happen to me? But the Bible says God was with him in the prison. And God is with you in your hard times. He never promised us a rose garden, but he did promise us grace. He's with you in your dungeon of sorts. He's with you in your trouble. He's with you in your trials. The Bible says God was with him and favored him. Where the jail keeper looked and said, everything this guy touches, it prospers. Same thing that Potiphar saw. So he put him over the whole prison. Well, in the meantime, two men get thrown into the prison. One of them is a butler and one of them is a baker. They were servants of Pharaoh and they did something wrong and they got thrown into prison. And the Bible says that Joseph got to know them, got to fellowshipping with them. And one day he walks by and he sees that their countenances are cast down. So he says, what's the matter? Well, we've had dreams and we can't figure them out. They're very troubling dreams. Well, see, Joseph was learning something in prison. Not only was God with him as far as prospering him and blessing him and making him successful, but God was teaching him his spiritual gift. He was an interpreter of dreams. He was able to listen to your dream and tell you exactly what God meant by it. So these men said, here's our dreams. Joseph, tell them to me. I'll tell you what they meant. They told him. Joseph looked at the baker and said, you're cooked. Because I saw that you're going to be brought up out of here and Pharaoh's going to take your head. He turned to the butler with better news and said, you're going to be delivered from here and restored to your position. And the Bible says it happened exactly like he said. But he told them before they were taken out, he said, please remember me. Remember me. I've been good to you. I've loved you. I've blessed you. Don't forget me because I didn't do what I'm in here for. I'm innocent. But it says when they walked out, they forgot all about Joseph. Well, you know the rest of the story. Some time went on. One day, one of the guards came to his door and said, guess what? You need to comb your hair, shave your beard, get on your best clothes because you're about to go in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh? I'm going in front of Pharaoh? What for? What does he want with me? He's had dreams. He wants you to interpret them.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Some time went on. One day, one of the guards came to his door and said, guess what? You need to comb your hair, shave your beard, get on your best clothes because you're about to go in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh? I'm going in front of Pharaoh? What for? What does he want with me? He's had dreams. And he wants you to interpret them. Well, of course, he interpreted them. You know the story of Joseph, and he was placed second only to Pharaoh over all the land of Egypt. But now, I want to go back to before his promotion. I want to look at his trouble. Because you see, Joseph was a survivor. Folks, I want you to know today that you and I are going to have to learn to be survivors in the grace of God. And not just survivors, but thrivers. Joseph experienced some trouble, but he survived it all. God doesn't want you and I caving in, putting up the white flag, walking away from church, walking away from fellowship, walking away from prayer, giving up on life. God wants to teach us how to survive and from there to thrive. I want you to think about Joseph for a minute. Joseph didn't have the benefits that we have. He didn't have any of the Word of God. Moses was still centuries away. So there wasn't Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, even that, the first five books, he didn't have. He didn't have one written word from God. All he had was a dream from God, a word from God in a dream. He didn't enjoy the constant indwelling of the Holy Spirit like we do. He had no inward strengthener and encourager like we do, because the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the church's birthday. The Holy Spirit certainly was helping him, but he wasn't living in him like he does us. He didn't have a church. He didn't have any fellowship. Think about this. Joseph had not one solitary person with him in Egypt who he could talk to about Jehovah God, who he could go to and say, pray with me about this, or I'm burdened about this, or can you stand with me in this because I'm really having some trials. No, when he got betrayed, when he got lied about, when all those things happened to him, Joseph had no one. He was alone. Yet Joseph survived and Joseph thrived. Now, I want to show you today three important tests in his life that we're going to have to pass as well if we're going to fulfill God's plan for our lives. And I want you to stand with me: the forgiveness test, the providence test, and the proving test. Let's talk about the forgiveness test. If anybody had cause to be bitter at other people, it was Joseph. As we have shown, he had been forsaken at home. Brothers hating him so much they couldn't speak nicely to him. Thrown into a well, plotting to kill him, selling him into slavery. Forsaken at home, lied about. Those brothers were so evil. They did such a wicked thing that they took his coat of many colors and they killed an animal and they dipped that coat into the animal's blood and took it to Jacob, his daddy, and said, "Is this your son's coat?" And he said, "Yes, that's my son's coat." And they said, "We found it. It looks like wild beasts have gotten him." And Jacob wailed and Jacob wept. And he was convinced that Joseph had not only died, but died a horrible death, eaten alive by wild animals. And they allowed his dad to believe this for years. Forsaken at home, falsely accused at work of a heinous crime he didn't commit. "That man tried to rape me. That man tried to assault me." Yet we don't detect one scintilla of bitterness against this woman on Joseph's part. She's not even mentioned again by Joseph or in all the Word of God. We don't know what became of Potiphar's wife, though I guarantee you she was hiding when he got promoted second only to Pharaoh. Falsely accused, forsaken at home, forgotten by friends. Listen to the pathos in this statement that Joseph made to this butler and baker. "Please be kind enough to mention me to the king and help me get out of this prison, for I am innocent." But the butler, whose life was spared, never gave Joseph another thought. He forgot all about him. Do you know what it feels like to be forgotten, forsaken, falsely accused? He forgave them. His magnificent forgiveness is powerfully reflected in the name he gave to his two children. His first child he named Manasseh, meaning forgetful. Can you imagine him sitting at home at night? "Come here, forgetful, sit on daddy's lap." See, in explaining this name, Joseph said it was because, quote, "God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's house. God has made me forget." He wasn't saying God had given him divine amnesia. He was saying God has so healed me on the inside from what was done to me that I don't think about it anymore. As we all know, the bitter person never forgets. They live in yesterday's offenses. What happened to them is a loop that goes on, continuously turns in the theater of their mind, but not Joseph. Joseph forgave these people who had wronged him, and he passed the forgiveness test. And then the second child he named was Ephraim, meaning, "God has made me fruitful in the land of my pain." Oh, I love that. You know what God loves to do? He loves to bless you while the devil watches. He loves to bless you, and the devil can't do a thing about it. I think of David, "Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. While the devil watches on, God blesses me, and the devil can't do a thing about it." Listen, where the enemy has tried to destroy you and hurt you, and where you have pain, God intends to bless you and make you fruitful in the very land of your affliction. You ought to give God praise for that. I love it. Now, it's important to note that forgetful preceded fruitful. It's only when we forgive that we're free to become fruitful. And that's what the forgiveness test is all about. See, God wants to bless you and me. We all have a gift. We all have a calling. We all have a purpose in life. And it's more than your 9-to-5. It's more than your 401k. It's more than where you live or who you married. God has his hand on your life. You are a child of destiny, a child of purpose, a child that God has a plan and a purpose for. And guess what? You're going to be tested with a forgiveness test that is going to come along, that's going to decide whether or not you achieve and attain and apprehend what God has for you. Every person within the sound of my voice will have to pass the forgiveness test at some point in life. Somebody's going to wrong you. Somebody will offend you deeply. Probably somebody close to you, somebody you trusted, somebody you counted on, somebody you love. You remember who kissed Jesus? Judas. The Judas kiss comes to all of us at one time or another. And the test is what you do with it. And I want to give you a word today. Some of you are in a forgiveness test right now. Listen, nobody, no place, no thing is worth your destiny in God. Forgive and move on. You say, well, I don't feel forgiveness. You're not supposed to feel it. You're mad. The Bible says that your tongue is the rudder of your life. There's this great big ship, but underneath that ship is one little rudder. And it's not the wind blowing the sails that decides the direction of that ship. It's the rudder underneath. And your tongue is the rudder. And what you say is the way your ship is going to go. So you just say, well, I'm going to obey God. I forgive. And it's not easy. It comes out like castor oil. You don't want to say it. You don't feel it. You want to judge. You want to take vengeance. You want to go against them. But God says, forgive. If anybody could have held bitterness, it was Joseph. If he had refused to forgive his betraying brothers or Potiphar's lying wife or the selfish butler and baker, he would have died a bitter, angry old man rather than a prince in Egypt. Who do you need to forgive today? What offense is blocking you from achieving what God has for you? Say it, I forgive them. Say it, I pray for them. Say it, I let them go. Say it, because there is a future ahead of you that is so bright, you need shades on to look at it. Now, Joseph passed, and he passed with flying colors. He forgave. But then he came up against the providence test. How in the world, let me ask you a question. How was Joseph able to stay afloat in such treacherous waters? Betrayed, forsaken, forgotten, lied about. At every turn, he had a disappointment, a disillusionment, a letdown. How did he stay afloat? I'm going to tell you, he had a secret. And I'm going to tell you his secret. And I believe this secret is the reason he was able to forgive like he did. His secret was this. It was his understanding and his acceptance of the providence of God. Say, Pastor Jeff, I don't know what you mean. It's real simple. Providence says God's got everything under control. Providence says no matter what happens to me, God's going to work it together for my good. Providence says that the devil never says checkmate over my life. God does. The providence says, I know he's got it. So I'm going to trust that no matter what I see, no matter what I experience, no matter what I go through, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of purpose. I'm a child of destiny. I'm a child of promise. And my God is going to make all things work together for good because he's the one in charge. The devil is a dog on a leash. He is not in control. Neither are men. God is provident. Can you say with me, God is sovereign over all things?
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.